Thank you. It has been said that we live in a world filled with information. And because of the advancement in technology, this information is available at my fingertips. If I am looking for something, all I have to do is log on to the internet, enter some data, and just click away. In times past, if I was working on a Sunday lesson, and I wanted to locate a particular passage in the Bible, and I couldn't quite remember where it was, I would consult the concordance for my answer, but not anymore. Now I simply ask Google for the information, and there it is, right on my computer screen, actually telling me more than I need to know. But you know, certainly this does make life a whole lot easier. Then I ask the question, is this now the way of the world? And I answered myself saying, yes, yes, it is. And I thought about all of those reference books that were so important to us in times past. Does anybody actually use them anymore? Or have they been relegated to a space in the attic? Does anybody store information in file cabinets or in desk drawers? Or is everything now kept in the cloud? Some of us still get the news of the day via the television or the radio. And I do think that newspapers continue to have an audience. I base my opinion on the number of people I notice reading the Express newspaper on the bus or on the subway. But what about magazines? Does anybody read magazines anymore? Now, I confess that I do still subscribe to several of them. One of them is Time Magazine. Now, for several weeks starting in June, they include a list of books that are recommended for our summer reading enjoyment. In particular, they suggest certain books that we are to include in our book bag that we take to the beach. Apparently, even in our time of vacation, we are not just to relax and have fun in the sun. No, even in our leisure time, we must continue to do something. Actually, you know, this really isn't a bad idea. Reading allows us to escape into someone else's adventure and drama, freeing us from dwelling on what is happening in our life at the moment. And I do think that this is the purpose of a vacation. To get away from what is happening in our life at the moment. Yes, our lives are filled with information. Only the medium changes. It doesn't matter if it is the internet, the newspapers, magazines, or books, or if we still tune in to the television or the radio. It is our way of gathering information. Our hunger for information is really our desire to learn about something. Mankind is in a perpetual state of moving forward in some way, climbing and expanding into new places of understanding. Now, this is actually true in all areas of life. When it comes to our careers or occupations, learning comes through the necessary method of education, or perhaps through a time of apprenticeship, or by trial and error. When it comes to the arts or cultural endeavors, learning is done through studying the masters and their work. It is accomplished by developing individual talents and through much practice. Now, all true desire requires something of us. If our area is philosophy, we study the philosophers. If we wish to learn about astronomy, we turn our telescopes to the sky to study the stars and the moon, the sun and the planets. To discover the mystery of the waters, we must put on the appropriate gear and descend to the bottom of the ocean. If our area of interest is religion, we may study the works of the ancient holy men, the teachings of the traditional churches, or the writings of the modern-day metaphysician. Now, all of this is done with the intent to satisfy our desire to learn about religion. Now, since we are sitting in a church, it seems reasonable that our desire is to learn about God. We may have begun our research by looking at the various doctrines and principles accepted by certain churches and denominations. And in time, perhaps through testing and trying, we narrowed our search to the field of metaphysics, going beyond that traditional approach to life. Now, when we studied those other fields of endeavor, we discovered a principle behind what it was we were looking at. Whether it applied to music, to the stars, or to those scientific discoveries in the laboratory, we understood the invisible laws that support gravity, electricity, and mathematics. And we asked the question, is there a principle that sustains and supports life beyond the material form? We reason that if this is so, if there is such a principle, then it must be what manifests as form in the first place. And so we ponder what it is we have learned. The great activity behind form suggests a creator, a god, or a deity. Now, divine science is a Christian religion, and that means that we follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. Jesus told us about God. He told us about the creator and the creation. Jesus' God had a kingdom, but it was not of this world, and he called it the kingdom of heaven. Jesus told us that God is spirit and must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Well, clearly we are learning about the invisible realm of life out of which all things are made. We understand that the invisible activity in the seed brings forth the flower, the vegetable, and the crop. We understand that that manifested form we call table or chair began first as an idea in mind. If we really are the creation of a spiritual creator, then what does that say about us? To find our answers, we must read and we must study. And since we follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, then what we read and what we study is the Bible. Surely we will find all of those answers to our questions in the Bible. About which one? Which version of the Bible will answer our questions? And then there are all those other books that give an interpretation of the Bible. We do feel that our answer lies in the holy book, but our first attempts may lead to more questions than answers. Do we consider the Bible to be a historical document? If so, how does it relate to us individually? Now, some do accept the Bible literally, with no further interpretation needed. But the thinking man, he may question the ability to create the world in 7 days. And then there are all of those battles in the Old Testament. Can one man actually slew hundreds of men at one time using the primitive weapons of the day? What about Adam and Eve? And what about that serpent? Was it really the tempter that got them kicked out of the garden? What about those miracles in the New Testament? Could Jesus actually raise the dead? Now, those of you who have read Joel Goldsmith, you may remember that he tells us he never attempted to interpret a biblical passage until he had first received an inner message concerning its meaning. Most churches have some sort of Bible study, either actual classes or discussion groups. Now, much can be learned in this way. Divine science teaches the Bible metaphysically. That is, it teaches there is a meaning behind the actual story. It considers the Bible to be every man's and every woman's journey from the Adam's sense of awareness to Christ's consciousness. It is an unfolding process that takes place in consciousness, one that reveals what belongs to that man of dust and what belongs to that man who has his being in Christ. Now, if you wish to study the Bible, my advice is to take one story, one passage or verse that speaks to you, one that you cannot let go. You know there's a message there for you, and you want to know what it is. Ponder it, study it, sit in the silence and ask for guidance. Now, for me, one such passage is where Jesus said, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." Well, this has always intrigued me. Now, I know about meat. Meat is considered to be substantial. The individual who was raised on a farm may refer to meat and potatoes as the necessary substance to maintain the body in good working condition. And to the one who is planning a meal, meat is considered the main attraction, and the rest of the meal is planned around it. Clearly, meat is considered substantial and a very necessary part of life itself. So when Jesus said that he had meat that ye know not of, he meant that he had a sustenance that the human being would not understand. Was he referring to a principle that supports life beyond the material form? Certainly the meat which the world knows of can only support the human being until the life force leaves the body. When someone dies, no amount of the world's meat can restore life to a dead body. So we are really talking about a sustenance that belongs to the invisible realm of life. The invisible life in the seed is the substance that supports the flower. Now, the human eye beholds the flower's blossom and bloom, admiring it for its appearance, its color, its shape, and its fragrance. But the heart of the flower, it does not glory in its appearance. All glory is given to its meat, the invisible sustenance that the world cannot see and does not know of. Can we celebrate us in this way? Can we look beyond our appearance and behold the principle that put us in place, the one that sustains us and maintains us? Can we glory in this way? Now, the invisible realm of being, it is a spiritual one. Our founders define substance in this way. The original quality and composition of spirit, that which permeates, underlies, and supports visible creation, that's us. This is the invisible me that Jesus talked about. We intuitively know that Jesus' meat was what we would call his good. And we wanted what Jesus had. We want our good. We want to make this principle ours. We want to make it personal. Now you see, it really isn't a matter of trying to make our principle ours, nor are we trying to take what belonged to Jesus Christ. This individual, invisible principle that created us already has existence in us, in our consciousness. We are told that it maintains us and sustains us. And in order for it to do this, it must be present in us. And the wonderful thing is we do not have to go in search of it in order to find it. The receptive attitude is, be still and know, and it will reveal itself. So now we know the invisible meat, our sustenance, exists in us, in that place in consciousness that knows itself as one with the creative principle that sent it forth into expression. It is now time for us to make it personal. The illumined consciousness is the substance of my meat, my bread, and my water. It is the substance of my relationships, my occupation, my rent, and my transportation. It is the substance of my words, my deeds, and my actions. Now, what we call our good or not so good is simply our demonstration of where we are in consciousness. And when our consciousness is established in heaven, then what comes forth will be good, and very good. To partake of the invisible meat means that we are fed from within, within our place of being that is not touched or moved by human experience. The meat of our relationship with God is our time of quiet communion. Some call it prayer, others call it meditation. For me, now remember we are to make this personal, for me it doesn't matter what I call it. I just know that when I become still, something happens. When I say I become still, I mean that I stop talking and I stop thinking. And at that time, there is no yesterday, there is no tomorrow. It is as if the world stands still and ceases to be just for that moment. And sometimes this only lasts for a moment. Sometimes we are able to stay a little longer. But since there is no time in the experience of now, we do not judge according to the ways of the world. Now, I consider this to be an important aspect of the invisible realm of life. There are no restrictions. There are no limitations. There are no voices tempting me to look, to search, or to seek. There is just that still small voice that prompts from within, turn here or turn there. The invisible realm of being, it's absolute, it's sure, and it is certain. There are no disguises and there are no masks. There are no mistaken or uncertain identities. Now, some individuals refer to the invisible presence as a great intelligence. Now, let us understand that this is not the intellect of the human mind, with its ability to think and to reason. The intelligence of the invisible presence is God wisdom, God knowledge, and God understanding in action. Carrie Muntz, an early divine science minister, she spoke of intelligence in this way. We are aware of a great intelligence within ourselves that helps us climb the hills of life, that gives us wisdom to solve problems, and helps us to adjust our lives to our environment. How grateful we are for this inexhaustible source of wisdom that is always sharing itself with us, its manifestation. She goes on to tell us that to be alone, to open ourselves to the infinite mind, is one of our greatest privileges. Now, I do like the way Carrie Muntz describes the infinite intelligence in us. Viewed another way, we might call it the principle behind all things. Or perhaps it is the meat the world knows not of. She states it in such a simple way, not exactly easy to practice, but states it in a simple way. The great intelligence works in us, assisting us in meeting our challenges. Carrie Muntz says it helps us climb the hills of life. She says it gives wisdom to solve problems. Now we hear this, and I think we can all agree that we sure could use this kind of help. And you see, this help is already available in us. But in order for it to come forth and do its work, we must step aside in a human way. That is, we must stop thinking and talking in a personal way. We must release any personal control we think we have. And you see, this is hard to do because many times our ego will simply not allow us to do so. Understanding that the meat the world knows not of is ours is one thing, but surrendering to it is something else. You see, for eons of time, we have judged according to appearance, including ourselves. We have given power to our intellect to work things out. And then we have gone and turned to others for guidance and direction, asking their opinion and what they would do. It's not easy for us to give up the established habits that we have accepted to be so, but do so we must. We began by wanting to gain understanding concerning Jesus' message, "I have meat ye know not of." We studied a little bit. We searched, we pondered, and then we contemplated. We sat in silence and we asked our question, and then we listened. Let us understand we did not do all of this just for an intellectual understanding of a particular verse in the Bible. We asked our question because we wanted an answer that could become our way of life. We wanted help in climbing the hills of life. We wanted wisdom to solve problems. So we can just not just leave it there. To cooperate with the principle of life means we are open and receptive to it. And so we put into practice what we know, and we live what it is we understand. When we do this, we can say with Jesus, "I have meat ye know not of, but why stop there? I have bread and wine, and I have peace the world knows not of. I have a very present help in time of trouble. I live the abundant life that was given me by my Father, which art in heaven. In the beginning of time, I was given dominion over all things. Most importantly, I was given dominion over what I allow into and entertain in my consciousness. I am of God, there is none else. That is all I need to know. This morning we have the opportunity to turn within and commune with our Father in the stillness of being. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, let us become still and enter that place of inner being. It is there that God's presence is felt and known. The Holy Red Sea planted in us remembers from whence it came. The Father and I are one is the recognition of a grateful heart. In the time of inner communion, we release our thoughts and we enter the silence of the holy place. It is there that we hear marvelous things. God is here. Right where I stand, God is. The message is, fear not, I am here. Divine wisdom lives us and moves us. We are given the words to say and the actions to take. We are about our Father's business. Our purpose and our reason for being are to serve as the avenues for His expression on this earth plane. As we leave the sanctuary this morning, let us practice His presence and live the truth of us. God is in this place, and I know that this is so. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge Him so that He may lift your consciousness and give you His peace. Amen. Stand.